Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so grateful that God has given us the ability to be here today and to minister to you all, and there is a word from the Lord. We'll be going into Hebrews, the 12th chapter, picking back up there and continuing on. But before we go forward, I'm going to ask my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, to go ahead and give us our announcement and our prayer so we can begin. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you. And once again, welcome to the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are excited that you have taken time out of your schedule to join us here for the Word of God. Just real quickly, today's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear us at www.ctkr.org. For even ministerial engagements, we ask that you would even click on the link, amen, even to allow us, if you want to give your prayer requests, and any information that you would like to know more about us, that is our website. We invite you also to become a prayer partner and a vision partner with this ministry, please helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We also have a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Please go to that Facebook page and like us there. Amen? Amen. And those are the announcements for this evening. And let's go into prayer and then immediately into the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We give your name all praise and honor. You are the great I Am. You are the El Shaddai. Father, we just lift your name up high. We thank you because this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your protection. God, we thank you for just surrounding us with your love. Even now as we begin to delve into this word, Father, I ask that you would just engulf us with your Holy Spirit. Father, I'm asking that you would just anoint us to begin to preach this gospel. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to move as you wish to move. We, your people, are bowing ourselves before you. We're humbling ourselves before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Any sin, God, that is easily besetting us, we set it aside, God. We ask that you would wash us and cleanse us. Forgive us from all of our unrighteousness, Father. Help us to walk worthy of you. Help us to walk worthy of the calling. Help us to continue in the ways, God, that you have ordained for us and in the path that you have chosen for us in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as the man of God comes, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Our hearts are open. Our ears are attentive to hear. We, your people, we speak that we shall do what you say. We shall adhere to your word. We constantly believe in you, and we have the faith that we shall complete the assignment that you have ordained for each and every one of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we give your name praise. We give your name all glory and honor, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you for that dynamic and that awesome prayer. Tonight we want to pick up where we have been. And I just want to just say in the way of announcements to reiterate and to reinforce what Prophetess has said. Many of you have asked for us to come, and we don't have a problem coming. Amen. I say all the time that we're not high maintenance. We just need a request and know what it is that you're having so that we know what to pray about. And the Lord says, if the Holy Spirit says, go, then he'll make sure that everything is right. Amen. We know that there are expenses and things that we have to take on when we actually travel. But we travel ourselves and make sure that we come to be a blessing and not a burden. So if the Lord has laid on your heart to ask us to come, then go ahead and fill out, you know, send us an email from our website and let us know your desire for us to come and the intent that you have. And then we'll go from there and see what the Lord says in the matter. We're looking to be a blessing to the body of Christ. We are a gift to the body, and we understand that it means that we have to go to the body to be that gift. Now, let's get into this word tonight. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Amen. As I was sharing before, there's so many different things that are going on with the body of Christ nowadays. We've been hearing about this pastor who has, in between services, his parishioners waiting for him to come back, and the news comes to everyone that the pastor has a self-inflicted gunshot wound sitting in his driveway. His wife found him, and the pressures of what we deal with sometimes maintain or mandates that we, amen, God bless you, mandates that we walk according to God's precepts for our life. Listen, you can't do this yourself. If you are not called, don't go, amen. And I'm not saying anything one way to him or against him. I'm using this as a teaching moment for the body of Christ, because the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Mm-hmm. And the difference between the called and the chosen is the choice that you make. When you make the choice to follow Jesus, he begins to teach and train you, amen, so that you can walk this walk, amen. And as you walk the walk, it is evident in your conditioning, it is evident in your processing, it is evident in your matriculation that God has called you. You'll see as you look in hindsight how God has been leading you all the way, every step of the way. So many people have seen that we are out and we're standing in front of people. We seem to have an audience. We seem to have those who follow after what we're saying. But they don't understand what goes on after the people go home.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand what we have to endure and what we have to deal with getting to the place where you see us out in front of everyone. There is a price that has to be paid. The anointing costs. Amen. So other people can do whatever they want and get away with whatever they want, but we are held to such a standard that the enemy tries to trip us up every which way he can. And if you're not careful, you'll step into a lane you were never meant to run in. This race that we have been given is authored by Christ. Amen. Let's read this. Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Mm-hmm. That means that there are some things that as you're going into this that will be worked out of you. You came in with an attitude, and God will put you around people that will work that right out of you. I found out early in ministry, and I've been preaching since 88, 89. I found out early in ministry that God will give you what you need to make you into what he wants to use. In other words, when he calls you to hard people, he'll make sure you're around some real hard folk. Amen. But then after you're dealing with them, you'll be able to stand with them. Amen. This gospel is not for the weak. It's not for those who are faint of heart. Amen. It takes strength. It takes endurance mm-hmm. to walk this out. Amen. So when you begin to put on things that will pull you to one side or the other, they'll pull you off track. That's why he says here, laying aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Anything that slows you down or causes you to list one way or the other, you need to get rid of that, because this whole thing has to be done with you even keel running the race that is given to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. What does it say here? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That means you can't have a pet sin that you hold on to while working on other things in your life. Stop telling people God is still working on me and let him work on you. Amen. Stop making excuses for bad behavior and change your behavior pattern. Amen. Hallelujah. That means that if there's some things that are inside of you that you keep catering to, get rid of those things. Those sins that easily ensnare you. Amen. And keep you back and slow you down and drag you to the ground.
Yes.
Get rid of every trap, every snare, mm-hmm. and run. Let us run with endurance, you see that word, endurance, the race that is set before us. Now, like I said before, we have to be very careful that we're not running a race in the lane that God has not designed for us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Each runner has a track lane that they are given, and they line up in the blocks, and they wait for the person who's starting to race to give them their mark. They're set. And then, pow, they're ready to run. But they can't run into someone else's lane. They'll be disqualified from the race. And so it is here. When God called us into the places where we are. And he gave gifts to men. Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
When we go into the word and we begin to look at the gifts that he gave, Ephesians, amen, 4 and 7, amen, mm-hmm. then we begin to see he gives us a gift. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So that means that to each one of us, he gave us grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. What gift? 11 first. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And you hear us preach and teach on this all the time. And it's because people, one day you see them and they're a brother. Next day you see them. 2 weeks from now, they're evangelists. And if you catch them 6 months from now, they're pastor. If you see them a year from today, there'll be a prophet who is on the way to their apostleship. As if these are steps to make. But guess what? Each one of these are an office that you are called to from the very beginning. Your matriculation is designed based on your office that you're called to. So when it says, but to each one of us, grace was given, then that means that he did not call you to jump through hoops trying to be each and every one of these. Mm-hmm. He called you to one of these. And in that office, you fulfill every aspect of the body of Christ, design and purpose. That means that some people don't need you to prophesy to them. They're fine there, but they need an apostolic voice in their ears. Yeah. They need to follow after that. Some people don't need you to be there trying to give them apostolic voice and prophesying to them. They need somebody who's going to teach them and pastor over them and feed them and cover them. They need a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
See, all of these things right here, when we get out of our lane, then we have people who are supposed to be pastors who are trying to run around evangelizing. Well, listen, if you're an evangelist, go out and evangelize. But leave the pastoring to somebody who's going to sit there with the sheep and make sure that they're developed, they're mature, they're fed, they're covered.
Amen.
So the grace that is upon your life is given to you by God. It is Christ's gift to you. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So when we begin to look at this, then we understand when we go back to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, where it says, and let us run with endurance this race that is set before us. Mm-hmm. Who set the race before you? Well, keep reading. Second verse. Looking unto Jesus, he's the one who set the race. But he's the one who also designed the perimeters of the race. Your lane has been chalked out, if you will, by him. The perimeters of your race, the endurance, the length of your race, if you will, has been set up by him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means that when you got the grace, there came along with it a faith with it. I'm going to say that again. When you got the grace for your office, there came along a faith with it. That's why when you are who God called you to be, people can come and say whatever, and it doesn't sway you one way or the other. Listen, I have some people who tell me that they don't believe in apostles. Do you think that I'm going to stop being who God called me to be? No. I'm going to walk out this apostleship because the apostleship was not given to me by man. It was given to me by God. See, I tried to get out of it before I accepted it, amen, and found out I couldn't run from it, so I accepted it because this is God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And see, when we understand that, then when I have to walk and deal with things in my office, I do so, and I walk heavily, amen. I'm not tiptoeing and hoping I don't make a mistake up here. Because there is a grace that came along. The grace is what sustains me. The grace is what keeps me. It is that grace that allows me, like Peter, to walk on the water. When everybody else is looking at me doing it, trying to figure out how it's being done, it is God's grace that sustains me in my miracle. It sustains me in my office. It sustains me where I am. That's why you can't walk out somebody else's assignment. You got to walk out your own. Because they don't have the grace to go through and do what God has already designed and called you to do. Amen, somebody. Huh? And when you look at this, then you'll understand that there's some things in my life that God has already designed for me that as soon as I walk to it and get to it, my assignment, I'll find out that everything that I've been running after will come to me the way that he said it would. See, that they didn't lie to you when they told you of the goodness of God. They did not lie to you when they told you what God had in store for you. But what they should have also told you while they were telling you about the blessings of obedience, they should have been warning you about the disobedience and the lack thereof. So when you aren't obedient to God, then you can't look at him for the house, the cars. You can't look at him for your health and for your wealth and your well-being. Your wholeness is not guaranteed when you are not walking obedient to God's call on your life.
Mm-hmm.
When we have people now trying to find a way to get around the obedient part. Lord, just bless me regardless. Do for me regardless. Don't cause me to have to walk up here and say yes to you. I don't know. I need to see everything before I buy into it. Listen, this isn't a buying in type thing.
Mm-hmm.
God said it. It is so. We follow after him because his word sustains his call. Look at this over here in Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs 16, several scriptures here that we could actually go into. But let's look at just a few here. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16:1, New King James Version, simply says this: the preparation of the heart belongs to man, mm-hmm. but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see that? And see, when you begin to prepare in your heart how you're going to answer and do things, you think that you have worked it out. But after you open up your mouth, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In other words, while you trying to put it together, God already got the last word. I like how it says it in the Message Bible. It says, mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. That means that while I was trying to find a way out of what he called me to do, he already had put a period on the end of the sentence that was me. Amen? And when you deal with that, then you stop trying to justify yourself based on your limited intellect. Amen? You have to understand that you are not able to deal with the wisdom of God. His wisdom, his ways, his mindset, his thoughts are so high above us that you can't figure them out. By the time you try to figure your get yourself aligned so you can think about what he's doing, he is so many steps ahead of that. That your stuff that you're doing is so minuscule. So we have to trust on his wisdom. We have to trust on his vision. That's why when he gives you an assignment, he's already done all the brain work for it. All you have to do is bring your obedience to the task. Amen, someone. And when you do that, then you'll find out that God has already blessed you. Amen? Mm-hmm. Huh? Look at this, second verse here. All the ways of a man appear in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Huh? So what it basically says, God is looking at you. And even though you try to make it look right, God already knows where your heart is. You see that? New Living Translation says it like this. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. So you can't just be obedient. Oh, I showed up at church and did it. Well, how did you do it? We talk about giving. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So when you come in and you throw in your offering at God, like, here, take it. He's like, wait a minute, who do you think you throwing your offering at? Don't forget that it's I who gave you the power to get well. And what you're doing is you're honoring me here. So if I have given you the ability to get it, then don't throw it at me like you're doing me a favor. Because I could cut you off, and this will be the last you get. See, we think that God is on our level as a man. And sometimes we treat him as if he is a man, just like us. See, just because you can think through it with your mind don't mean that he thought about it like that with his. Amen? Just because you look at it with your motives and you try to get him to do something, that don't mean that he's going to do it according to your motives. He looks at what you're doing, and you say, well, I didn't mean it like that. Well, God already knows. We see several times where they were sitting there debating or thinking amongst themselves, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, listen to this, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, addressed their concern. And when they looked at him, they were perplexed and puzzled. How could he know what we were thinking in our hearts? Yes, see, he examines your motives. And while you're trying to look right, he knows whether or not you are right. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So when he designs this race for you, he designs the race so you can run it. But he's looking at how you're running the race. See, if I run and I step out of my lane, then the line judge can call that and disqualify me. And see, we think that God will give us 2 and 3 chances to do certain things. Well, he don't have to give you the second or the third chance. Because when he calls you to obedience, Obedience is not doing what I think he wants. Obedience is doing what he called me to do. Listen, obedience is also without question or reservation. In other words, well, I'm going to obey you, but I just want to know why you wanted me to do it like that. Stop asking the question. You're not going to understand it all the time. And if you're waiting on God to give you the answer, sometimes giving you the answer puts you out of position. You understand? Let's take this to a football game. A football field. You have the quarterback, and the quarterback is looking after he calls the play. He gets in the pocket. They hike the ball. He steps back two or three steps. He's looking downfield. He's trying to figure out what would be the best one to throw the ball to so that it's not, number one, intercepted, and number two, they can get the most yardage from. So when you think that you're open and he threw it to somebody else, don't think that he missed you. Sometimes he knew that there was somebody coming over to jump your pass route. And if he had thrown it there, it would have been an interception. He threw it somewhere else, not based on your vision, but based on his. Now, let's bring this back into the body of Christ. There are some things that you think that God should have thrown to you at a certain time. But he already knew based on his vision that it wouldn't work and why it wouldn't work. When you get back to the huddle, he'll explain to you if you're patient enough to wait on him. Some things you don't have to know before it happens. Some things will become obvious after the fact. You understand? So we have people now in the body of Christ who refuse to move with the movement of the Spirit, with what God is saying, because they figure that if they move, that they don't know everything. And since they don't know everything, they refuse to move at all. And brother and sister, you're moving with disobedience and not obedience. So the blessing that you think is going to come to you didn't come because you were obedient. You didn't get anything. And if anything, you did open up yourself for the enemy. Huh? Because the enemy knows that when you are walking in disobedience, that you are you're open for attack. You're vulnerable. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. When you're there, he covers you. When you're there, he protects you. When you're there, he provides for you. When you're there, he gives you resources. When you're there, he gives you hope. He sustains you. Do I need to keep going on? Because this is what God does when you're in his will. Amen? Let's look at one more scripture down here. Amen? And then we're going to go back up. Amen? Let's look at the Proverbs 16:9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Now, my wife would tell you that she had plans for her life. She said, before I turned 25, I wanted to be here. When I got 30, I want to have this, and I want to do all of that. Dear, did any of those things come to pass?
No.
And why didn't they come to pass?
Because it was not in God's timing.
But what did God do for you?
He basically turned my life where things that I thought I never would be able to accomplish, I have already accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And things that you thought you needed to have.
Did not need to have at all.
And we have lived better and greater with less than we thought we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that we're sitting here paycheck to paycheck, living from hand to foot? No. Mm-mm. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that the things that we thought we needed to be happy, God knew better. And where he blocks certain things, we learn to let him block it. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying here. We learn how to let him block it. And when he blocked it, then it became a benefit for us. There's a lot of things, jobs and opportunities that on the onset of it, looking at it, looked like it would be the best thing in the world. And we were looking at it like, woo, this should be it. But afterwards, when it didn't come through, we were sitting there saying, Lord, we prayed and we asked you. And the Lord spoke to us really clearly one day and said, listen, if I block something from you, let me block it. I can see further than you can. And as we began to learn that, we began to look back at those same things. There was a job promotion that my wife was trying to go for. And as she tried to move into it, she found that somebody else that got it. And at one moment, she was distraught about it. And then we remembered, amen, that God has always protected us. And he began to rehearse how many times she tried to go here, and that was blocked. And it ended in 6 months. So she tried to go here, and that person was too stressful on them, and they ended up quitting the job to try to save their mind. You see, all of those things, we think we need to have certain things, but God knows exactly what we need to have. Huh? He knows why we need to have it. Because ultimately, God knows that our happiness, our security, our wholeness is his responsibility when we're following after him. A shepherd takes care of every need of the sheep. Okay, let me say that again. A shepherd takes care of every need of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't be out in the middle of the wilderness and be hungry. The shepherd didn't do his job. They can't be out in the middle of the wilderness and have a lesion or sore, and he hasn't poured in the balm and the salve and begin to work on getting them healed.
Mm-hmm.
The shepherd has not done his job. You see that? When it's time for them to be sheared down so that they don't have a skin disease from the hair that grows back into itself. If he doesn't do that, then the shepherd has not done his job. Every aspect, leading them to still water so that they can drink, because they can't drink from running water because it'll run up their nose and they'll drown. That is the shepherd's job. You see this? Leading them to places where they can procreate in peace.
Yeah, they don't do well.
Huh? They don't do well in stressful situations. So it is the shepherd's job to take care of every aspect of the sheep. You see that? Now, if Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and he is, and we are all under shepherds, then you have to understand that your wholeness is his responsibility, and his plan has taken that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith has to come up to your obedience. Not what you say, but what you do. Stop telling God yes and then demonstrating no's. Stop telling God you'll go and then sitting back waiting on him to give you every aspect of the plan. See, going back to that football analogy, the football player, the quarterback, knows that he has the ball, and each wide receiver has to run downfield, hoping that he's the one that is going to get thrown to. In the huddle, they may say, I'm going to go over here, but see that after they get up to the line and the ball is hiked, that, you know what? Hey, they got double, triple coverage over there. We can't risk that. We're going to throw it over here where the coverage left from. See, and if you wanted, if you're the second or the third one, you can't half run because you know you're not going to get the ball.
Right.
You got to run your route. Because if it comes to it, you need to be in position to receive that blessing.
Yes.
Amen. See, and that's what we try to do. I need to know everything. Tell me everything so I know it. And while you're learning everything, what you're doing is your faith hasn't come up to the level of your next step. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you didn't see the plan. You didn't see the resources. You didn't see how it was going to support itself. You didn't see how it was going to come together. But if God said do it, then step out and do it and watch the other parts of it come together.
Yes.
God knows how to support himself. He supports his vision. You understand? Huh? So when he says here, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his step. When you make your plans and God says, that was good, but this is what I really want, learn how to shift and get and become obedient to what God wants. Amen? It's going to work out for your good, always. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. So that means that even though you can't clearly see how this is going to be to your benefit, God's word can't lie.
Mm.
It has to come out good. for you. I know you wanted that position. I know you wanted that increase. I know you wanted the rest of this. Listen, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Sometimes we're going after stuff because our eyes are big. But it'll bring sorrow with it. And God says no. And when God says no, allow his no to stand and his wisdom to stand in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be sitting there in your pity party. I ask God. You better thank God that he didn't allow you to go over there. That would have been one of the traps of the enemy. You'll be over there all stressed out, losing your hair, putting on weight, your face breaking out, your stress, your heart and your cholesterol going up, everything else trying to prove to somebody that you can do something that God never called you to.
Yep.
See, here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, you see, there are some things that we're going to go through in our life. We know that as Christians in this life, some hardships will come, but we endure through them, knowing that there is a greater reward on the other side. I'm not trying necessarily for all my rewards to be down here. Thank God for the encouragement to endure to the end. Huh? You ever see the marathon runners as they're running? They'll run past certain tables, and those tables, they'll be giving them drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? They'll be giving them little nourishment bars. They don't stop running. They take the drink and drink it and keep running. They take the nourishment, a protein bar, and chew on it and keep running because you can't afford to stop running. And I want to encourage somebody right now. You're running. Take the encouragement, but keep running.
Amen.
The enemy would love for you to sit back, sit down, lick your wounds. Yeah, he's tried to deal some blows to you, tried to discourage you, tried to get you off focus and off track. But keep running. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight who will hear this and run with it. But this is the encouragement that you need. Amen.
Amen.
This is going to bless your heart and bless your soul. Amen. Look at this. In our lives, we're going to go through some things, but God has not forsaken you, nor has he left you to yourself.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. He knows exactly what you need. Amen. Look at this here. Romans 12 and 12. Amen. It says, and maybe I might go back a verse. Amen. I pray that you are getting something out of this. Amen. Yeah, let's go back. Romans 12 and 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. And part of the problem some of us have is that when we have to run the race, there's going to be some people along the sidelines who aren't on your side. Positioned by the devil. Positioned by your enemy. Some people will step up and stand up because they just don't like you. It is apparent that there are people who will go out of their way to try to discourage you because they're upset that you may supersede them in what you're doing. So instead of us having pastors who support other pastors, realizing that everybody has assignments out here, you'll hear them talking about each other. And those who are not strong enough to know or have any depth or any maturity, they hear all of this bickering and infighting of those who are supposed to be in leadership in the church. And they walk away discouraged, disenfranchised, and don't want nothing to do with the church anymore. And when you go back and you talk to them, they say, well, look, I saw too much. You know, you saw too much. Well, you ain't seen enough yet. you know, the enemy going to really show you some stuff. When you have come into this, and then when you walk away from this, the enemy's waiting on the other side trying to make sure that you never get back to this. Amen. So what we have then is we have people who say, I love the Lord. I love Jesus, but I hate church folk.
Mm-hmm.
How do you hate the people that make up the body? And when you answer that question, or when you get an answer to that question, it's because they're watching church folk act badly.
Mm-hmm.
See, what you're supposed to do and what you're doing is two different things. That's why it's important for us to understand what Paul is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying here. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't tell me one thing and show something else. Tell me what you're showing me.
Yes.
Huh? Show me what is there. Look what he goes on to say. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. To first be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And when we get this brotherly love together, then we'll stop looking at each other with lustful eyes. Then you won't have to worry about what happened. Well, you know, I can't help myself. God's still working. No. See, that stuff was nailed to the cross. But you refuse to allow the cross and the propitiation for your sins to be applied. You don't want the blood to be applied to that because you still trying to look. You still trying to use that as an excuse for bad behavior. Brothers and sisters, we got to get rid of it. You keep hearing me say it. Get rid of bad behavior and excuses for bad behavior. We need to let it go. God isn't winking at this and nobody else is either. It is a shame that people come into the household of faith hurting from everything that the devil has tried to do to them to keep them from getting in, and they get in and they run directly into someone who says that they're Christian but does everything except Christianity. Hello, somebody. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Abhor what is evil. Let love be without hypocrisy. You see those? Let me keep reading 10 here. In honor, giving preference to one another. See, we never have to worry about pride and arrogance when your MO, when your character, you see this, in your character practice is to promote others rather than yourself. See, we're so busy trying to self-promote. And see, I understand that that is needed in certain aspects of what we do. You know, you have to say, look at what God is doing for us. We understand. Yes, you have to self-promote some. But when you become the person who, what happened when I prayed?
Yeah.
What happened when I laid hands on you? When I spoke into your life, did it come to pass? How long does that take? Okay, sometimes we're sitting back enjoying, you know, what we've done so much, and we think that we all of that. Well, listen, if the Holy Spirit did not speak to you, huh? If God did not move for you, if there was no move of the Spirit, then you couldn't have heard a word to speak it. You couldn't have stretched forth your hand and had a response if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit. And let me burst some of your bubbles right now. Sometimes it's not what you're doing, it's the faith of the person you're stretching your hand to. So you saying, Lord, do it. And they're saying, Lord, I need you. I believe you. And he says, just as clear, he says, be it unto you according to your faith. Now, here you are standing there thinking it's all about you, but it's being done unto them according to their faith.
Yep.
So you weren't the vehicle that was used. You just brought them to a point in time where they extended their faith to a manifestation for their life. Oh. So that means that when you laid your hands, nothing happened. But when they stretched forth their faith, a miracle occurred. Thank you, Jesus. When we get this together, we'll stop walking around trying to act like we're big eyes and little U's. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. You see that 11th verse? Huh? Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. That means that when it comes down to it, I'm not going to back up and get tired. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You see that? 12th verse, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Lord, we don't want to hear none of this. Huh? Because we've been trying to pray on our enemy. Lord, my enemy caused them to be my footstool. Stop praying that prayer. He didn't cause you to do that. He told you that if they took your coat, go back. You're a Christian. Huh? He says if they took your coat, offer them your other one too. Huh? He says if they smote you on your left cheek, turn, offer them the right. Told you to bless your enemies. You see that? Bless those who despitefully use you. Huh? How many people in church right now waiting on a roof to cave in or fall in on their enemies? Lord, I need a Samson miracle. I don't care how it happened. Just kill them all. Kill them all. Wait a minute, stop. These are souls. And we are living not under the curse, but under redemption.
We really are.
Shouldn't we be praying for the souls? That's why he said, bless your enemies. Sometimes your enemies are acting out because of the pain they're experiencing. And they see you free. And instead of you demonstrating the gift of God, the peace of God, huh, the grace of God, you start showing your nature that should be under the blood. Help us, Jesus. Huh? Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. This is not Apostle McQueen. This is the Word of God. Now, if we're preaching this, if we're teaching this, if we're dealing with this, then we'll start to bring in souls who don't come in disenfranchised with the fact that it's going to take some living. It's going to take some work. Huh? It's going to take some movement and some, we're being conformed to the image of his dear son. If we're doing that, then we realize that this is not always going to be the easiest thing. Huh? There's some things that we've had happen in our life that we held on to because mom did it, dad did it, my grandmother, my aunt, my uncles, my family, back as far as I can remember, we've always been, and here you are at this impasse right now, and you have a decision, shall I follow in the steps of my ancestors, or shall I go the way that the Holy Spirit is leading me? If you lead the way, huh? Others will follow you, and you'll find out that you'll be the first of many who can say, I trusted in God. So regardless of what mom did, regardless what grandmother did, uncles, you'll be the ones who demonstrate the faith, and the generations coming after you will follow you into salvation because they'll see that you live the saved life, and they'll know that they can live a saved life. Mm-hmm. See, when we keep making excuses, we refuse to conform to his image. So if he is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12, then that means that he's the one who wrote out the blueprint of our lives. And every blueprint that he wrote out, he knew why he put this there and not over here.
Uh-huh.
He knew why he set this up at this place and not down there. See, there are things that you feel that you need to have at certain times. But he knew better. Huh? The Bible says that he knows the end at the beginning. That means before you get to where you think it's going to turn and switch, he already knew it wasn't going to turn and switch there. And being sovereign, certain things he has set up in his sovereignty for our benefit. But there are certain things that he has left for us that require our obedience and our faith.
Yes.
Let's finish this up in Hebrews 12. Second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And I think that, you know, this is something that we have to look at. Who for the joy, look at that, that was set before him endured the cross. Which, you know, is not something that really fits there. You see that? Joy and cross. How can you tell me that, see, the cross was not just put him up there and he died. There was a process to prepare him before they put him up. You see this? This joy that was set before him couldn't have been what he was going to endure in the cross. Which means that he had to look past the cross. You see that? To see what the joy was going to be. You see it? So when it says endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, then the joy was really the sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew that that was the place. You see that? Huh? And that joy allowed him to go through the cross to get to the throne of God. Have you gone through? Have you allowed yourself to go through? Huh? See, what happens is we think about what we're going to have to go through. And then instead of saying amen to what God wants, what we end up doing is we fuss about it. We talk about it. We run around it. We delay. We try not to deny, but we put off. We procrastinate making decisions that will lead us into the wholeness of God. That's what we end up doing. And while we're doing that, the enemy knows that every second, every moment that we're standing still, we still haven't progressed down the road towards our destiny. Mm-hmm. So you can't get through the cross to your joy until you go through your cross. That's why everyone must take up their own cross. I said before, I remember when I got saved, as a musician in church, I used to always hear them say, when you get saved, everything's going to be all right on the other side.
Right.
And then, you know, people get saved and things will be happening. It was like, listen, keep on ignoring. The mothers, the deacons, the trustees, all of them in the church, keep on going through. God's going to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, listen, you told me when I got saved, everything was going to be all right. But now I'm going through with my relationship. I'm going through with my children. I'm going through with this. My job's acting up. I'm doing this, that, and other. I'm trying to make ends meet and all the rest of it. And before, I'd just go out there, hook, crook, and make it and do whatever I wanted. You know, how is this better? And see, if nobody tells you that what changed is your ability to handle it based on God's grace upon your life, you start looking back and understanding that when they should have cut off your lights, they didn't. And you just happen to get to the next bundle of money that helped you to take care of that before they got over there with the cutoff switch. Okay. You see that?
That's good.
God kept you. We have testimonies of how they came and turned off the lights outside, and they left and went down the street around the corner. And we went in the house and flipped the switch and the light came on. And we said, Lord, I don't know how it happened, but thank you. And we kept on. And when we got a chance to go pay the bill, we went down and paid the bill. And they were like, we'll have somebody come out and turn it on. We were like, okay. And when they came out and said, we don't know what happened. This is a broken switch or a broken thing, but you know what? Your stuff been on all this time. And we was like, oh, we thought y'all cut it. Leave it right there.
Amen.
See, you think that miracles don't happen. But miracles do happen. You haven't been looking at it as a miracle. The man knew what he did when he cut it. Mm-hmm. I stood there and watched him. Huh? I also knew that when he left and I went in the house and said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. You're going to have to help us. And I'll hit the switch on habit because you walk in the room, you just hit the switch. And the light came on. It's like, okay, I don't know what just happened there. Well, Lord, help us. We go 2 or 3 days and money come in and we go over there. We're going to come and turn it on. We be like, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And leave it right there. Mm-hmm. They come out and have to replace the box and everything else. The tag's still on it just like he left it. Now, does that mean that God failed us? No, it means that our faith was extended to the place where even though he cut it on. God sustained it. We got to look at what God is doing around us. See, we got too many carnal saints. And the reason why you don't see a move of God is because your spiritual life isn't up to faith standards. You're still looking for somebody who's going to make it work according to your mentality and your mindset. And God doesn't have to come to where you are. You need to come to where he is. Allow him to do the impossible. Now, when you do that, then you find out that you can go through your cross. The cross is not going anyplace. Huh? You see that? The cross is not going anyplace. But you have to learn how to deal with the fact that Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, is trying to increase your faith. Mm-hmm. Bring your faith up to the level that he called you to, the grace that is upon you, and allow him to do the work in your life. Mm-hmm. He loves you. We love you. I know that God has greater for you and greater for us, mm-hmm. and we're looking forward to it. Amen? Come on, prophetess, if you would give us our closing prayer.
Amen. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this life-changing word. Father, I pray, yes. and I even speak, decree, and declare that this word that was given on tonight will begin to shift us out of the mundane, shift us to trust you more, shift us to be settled in you, shift us to realize that it is you that we is the reason why we live, move, and have our being. Father, we thank you, and we praise you right now because of what you're getting ready to do in the lives of your people. God, we thank you right now that this word will begin to open up the minds of your people, God, and it will begin to work on the revelation. Even now, God, speak to your people even as they sleep and allow this word to turn over in their spirit and bring a greater revelation and understanding right where they are in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you and we praise you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please repeat this after me.
Yes.
Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Make your abode in me. I want to live for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome, man of God, woman of God, into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries pray that you will be led, spirit-led, to a Bible-believing and teaching church that is going to mature you, that's going to challenge you, that's going to change you, that's going to bring you up so that you too can fulfill your kingdom assignment in the Lord. Amen?
Yeah. Now, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, learn more about us. Become a vision partner with us. We have churches, schools, orphanages all over the globe. Amen. Over in Kenya, Uganda, over in Nigeria, different other places. And they need your help. We're going into the holiday season, and they need support from you for some of the programs that they have. Listen, they can do some things to take care of what they do from day to day, but here is where they need some extra help so that they can be a blessing to vulnerable and orphan children and families. So we pray that you will stand with us as vision partner and help us to bless those who are working in the kingdom. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you all.